Welcome, Rock Church. My name is Brian, one of your pastors here, first-time caller, long-time listener. We are almost through our Get Wisdom series. We've been going through the book of Proverbs for about 11 weeks, 12 weeks now, and today we're going to be talking about bad company. I know there's a couple old boys in the room who are already quoting bad company lyrics, like, getcha. I didn't want to single out the young kids too much. Go, what are those old guys in their dinosaur rock talking about? So we'll save those for after service for the four bad company fans, but let's start with this, that guy. Growing up, I had the best friends in the world. Our neighborhood was the tightest circle of bros and broettes, the girls as well, you know. The older kids, they brought me into their world because I was like the only seven-year-old. They were all like 10. So they brought me into their world, and they influenced me in such amazing ways. They taught me all about basketball, and I'm really passionate about, and we'd play basketball, and they used to always lower the rim. Basically, I think they just wanted to, like, pounce on me. They would lower the rim so they could dunk on me all day. But you get really good really quick when people are bigger than you. But I loved learning basketball from these guys, and then we started a backyard wrestling league because, you know, WWF, back when wrestling was still real. You know, I'm talking like early 80s, I was 84, so like 86 to like 95 when wrestling was still real. You know, we had like a backyard wrestling league, and they would teach me all the moves and the figure four leg locks and the power bomb, and they had a great influence on me. My friends, I learned from them. And then growing up, getting a little bit older, started listening to some punk rock and some heavy metal, and I started getting into music, and then my friends started teaching me how to play drums and guitar and bass and scream into a microphone. I ended up getting paid doing that when I graduated high school. That's kind of funny. But they had a great influence on me. All these things that I'm so passionate about today, I can go back and go, man, I was really influenced by my best friends growing up in elementary school and into junior high. And they were a good influence on me. But also, the friends I grew up with were some of the worst examples, the worst influences in my life. The kids, the same dudes who taught me all about basketball and professional wrestling and those same guys who brought me under their wing were also the dudes who thought it would be funny to show an eight-year-old boy pornography for the first time. And then getting a little bit older, the dudes who taught me how to play music and do the double bass and hit the drums and scream into a microphone and mosh were the same dudes who were telling me to do drugs and smoke this and drink this and snort that. I lived in the mean streets of Salt Lake City, if you didn't know, right? That was my neighborhood. I don't know about yours, but they were some of the worst influences on my life growing up. And I don't doubt many of you have similar stories, that those who were our great friends also had really bad influences in our lives. And I'm sure some of you may have crazier, worse stories than that. I made out okay. I did all right. You know, God's been really kind. But one thing I've learned true over time is this, is that the people that you surround yourself with are going to define your life, whether for good or for bad. I think they say you're going to be most like the five people in your life, the most influential people or the five closest people in your life. So that's something we want to talk about. It's really easy for us to look back in the day and go, that wasn't a very good friend. But I think it's true for us today, as Christians especially, that we're supposed to have an influence in this world, that we should be people who are changing, like we're giving people the gospel, and that should influence them in a life-changing way. But also, there are people in our lives who have bad influences. They are a negative impact in our lives. They would be bad company. So we're going to look at that a little bit today. Who are the people in my life? Who are your friends? Who is it that you're getting advice from? If you're struggling or if you're single, who is it that you're planning to marry? It's quite possibly somebody who you're spending a lot of your time with. Or if you are married and your marriage is just struggling, who are the people that are influencing your marriage? Or your kids are just kicking your butt. Who are the people that you're going to for wisdom? The people you surround yourself with, they're going to define your life, whether for good or for bad. And Proverbs gives us plenty of warning when we get into the book of Proverbs. It talks tons about negative influences and the impact that bad company will have on your life. And today we're just going to look at a few of them, right? Because we don't have hours to unpack every single bad, negative, influential person in our lives. So I just grabbed a couple, and we're going to look at bad company that is found in the book of Proverbs. And my hope would be that we would think about the impact that people have in our own lives, maybe even some of your closest friends, maybe even in small ways, maybe their influence is actually affecting our faith or our parenting or our marriage, and that we would respond in a way that God's word wisdom tells us to. So we could look at 30, 40 different types of bad company, but we're just going to look at four right now, and then we'll dive in a little deeper. But bad friend number one, or bad company number one, I go with gossiping Gladys, and I try to think of somebody I've never met at this church. So if your name is Gladys, I will publicly apologize to you right now, but just you guys know what I'm talking about. Remember the Garbage Pail Kids, by the way? They always had like angry, or it was like Mad Mike, and... thanks, brother. Yeah, Garbage Pail Kids, those are weird. Anyways, what are we doing? We're at church? Oh, yeah, Bible. Bad friend number one, gossiping Gladys. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. Other translation says, do not associate with someone whose mouth is always open. Gossip. Lots of different ways, lots of different shapes, lots of different forms. In every way, it's not good. And we all know people like Gladys, don't we? It might be you. We all got a little bit of gossiping Gladys in our hearts. But this person loves sharing information about others, loves getting dirt on other people. This person always seems to know everything about everybody's drama. And one thing with gossip, almost all conversations start like this. Did you hear what happened to Mike and Larry and Tom last week? I heard blah, blah, blah. Did you hear that the Miller stopped going to that small group because somebody's a vegan? Oh, I heard why he got laid off. What, you know, anybody know that person? Always kind of knows everything. And the Apostle Paul calls this person in 2 Thessalonians the busybody, the person who's not busy minding their own business, but their full-time job is getting all the dirt on all of your business. That's gossip. It's a bad influence. Proverbs 16 tells us that the gossiper, Proverbs 16, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossiping Gladys is not the best company to surround yourself with. A few reasons, because gossip is just destructive. It does the opposite of building up a friendship, as probably everybody has experienced at some shape in their life, right? It just breeds conflict and division. And Proverbs 16 says that this person is perverse. That means it means they're difficult. They're just difficult. They're unreasonable. They're unhelpful. They stir up conflict. They entice drama. A gossip separates close friends. That is destructive. Because gossip hurts. We have feelings. And when you say something about me, whether it's true or if I gave it to you in private or not, and then you share that with somebody else, that hurts me. And oftentimes, the things that are said, oftentimes gossip aren't even true, or maybe half-truths, not totally true, or maybe just flat-out wrong. Now, that's called slander. That'll ruin friendships. And like Proverbs 20 said, do not associate with a babbler, a person whose mouth is always open. That will have a bad impact on you. Bad company number two, angry Alvin. Proverbs 22, verse 24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Josh, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Josh, he preached on anger. It's a great message. Just go listen to it. It'll make you mad. Be cautious if you're spending lots of time hanging around angry Alvin, because that attitude is contagious, that it will affect you. You're going to learn their ways. You hang out with somebody who's just always negative. They just have a resentful attitude all the time. A friend who is always quick to anger, just a short fuse. You spend a couple hours around them and tell me that doesn't affect you. Additionally, Proverbs 15 says about angry Alvin, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but He who is slow to anger quiets contention. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, right? They're angry. They're ready to fight. Angry Alvin is not the best company. He's always ready to go, and it's always everybody else's reason. He's a blame shifter. It's their fault that I'm mad, right? It's their fault that I'm so angry. And often that attitude, that quick temper, that just ready to brawl, is because simply it's someone or something else has disrupted their comfort. They expect everything their way, and if something just bends it in the wrong direction even a little bit, they will blow up. Angry people are always focused on their own personal welfare, and it's not fun to be around. It will have an impact on you. You're in a car driving, and somebody's, you know, they're like, oh, I wouldn't have been so mad. I wouldn't have shaken my fist. I wouldn't have waved my gun at them while I'm driving if they didn't speed up in front of me and slow down. It's their fault. It's like, you know, I wouldn't have flipped the table if the waitress would have brought sriracha. I asked for sriracha. Why did she bring Tabasco sauce? It's always somebody else's fault. Don't you push me, man. I'm close to the edge. Angry Alvin. That kind of behavior is contagious, and it's embarrassing. But we all have that kind of person. Hopefully you're not really flipping tables, right? I'm over Tabasco. Settle down. It's okay, guys. Calm down. But that's anger. It starts, that person is a bad influence on your life. It says you'll learn their ways. Be careful of who the company that you're surrounding yourself with. And you and I all struggle with this. Bad company number three, proud Pam. Proverbs 21, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Pride, proud. And when I say pride, we're not talking like satisfaction, right? Like of a job well done. Oh, I got a raise. I worked really hard. You should be proud about that. Or your daughter singing in the recital. That's a good form of pride. We're not talking about that. When we're talking about pride, we're talking about the arrogant, the self-righteous, the pompous, right? The haughty. That means literally the snob whose noses can't get up any higher. This person who's just, according to them, they're just kind of sort of better than everybody else. And we all experience this, I think, in a place called high school, if you know what I'm talking about. I could tell you from my perspective, the way high school for me, if you were in the dictionary of Brian, if you looked up high school for me meant everybody just thinks they're better than everybody else. I'll give you a case in point. Remember at the lunch hall? When everybody would go to lunch and they'd sit in the hall or whatever, everybody, where did they sit? Everybody sat by their crew, their posse. The gangsters sat over there. The jocks were up there. And then like, the cheerleaders were next to them giggling about the jocks. And did you see? And then, you know, and the punk rockers were over there. And then the stoners were out there on the grass, like literally on the grass and on the grass, right? Everybody had their own clique. And what did they think? My crew is better than theirs. We don't hang out with them types of people. We're better than them. And maybe that was not your experience. That was my experience. Proud Pam keeps this tradition alive. That attitude that kind of just keeps their distance from certain types of people. Tight circles that don't have room. We don't have any wiggle room. We don't hang out with that. And that happens even in the church, you guys. And there's nothing wrong with having close friends and having a close circle of friends. I hope you do have a close circle of friends where there can be like just like vulnerability and accountability and that you're growing one another. That's a wonderful thing. But we're talking about the cliques that just go, you know what? No, we don't talk to those types of people. Or, you know, we kind of keep tight in our little village over here, and that's great. Proud Pam even shows up in the church with just the people we allow to come into our lives. Another form of pride that often doesn't get noticed, or maybe it does, it's the friend who just, anything you do or accomplish, they always have a story that kind of just outdoes yours. Maybe you guys know this person. You go, hey, my family, we just got back from vacation. We were down in Moab for a couple days, and it was awesome. We looked at rocks. And they go, oh, I love Moab. We're next week, we're actually going on a 35-day excursion to the underground tombs of the Vatican. It'll be really great. It's like, wow, okay, cool. You have $90,000 more than me. Thanks for letting me know. Or like maybe this is just my bad heart, but you know, a gal has a baby and her friends come over. Oh, congratulations, it's your first baby. And they're like, yeah, it's so cute. I love her. And they go, oh, I remember having my first baby. And then my second and my third and my fourth baby. They're so sweet. They're so perfect, huh? And we're planning, we're praying about fostering 4 more children. And I'm a godmother of 6 more. Anybody know a gal kind of like that? I hope, don't look over at her. I'm just, sometimes they always like, oh, you're learning how to, oh, that's cool. What, one day you'll be a real mom like me. Not saying all the ladies are like that. Men are like that too. Or you go like, man, I've been, for the last 4 months, I've been trying to lose weight, and I've lost 4 pounds, to God be the glory. And they go, oh, you know, that's cool. I've lost like 12 pounds this week because I decided to stop chewing gum. It's like, anybody know? Like that, it's like, oh, dude, like, not the best company. That's pride. They're not really interested in others. You hang out with people like that, it's going to affect you. You're going to feel like garbage. That's not a good influence, not the best company. Another area of pride, the person who doesn't like advice. They don't listen well. They think they already know everything. The Bible calls that person a fool. Proverbs 18, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 28, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. This person is rarely wrong, if ever. They think they have everything already figured out. They know everything. They trust in their own mind. They've got everything about life figured out. They don't need any advice, but they are always ready to give you theirs. Check out social media for 10 minutes. I'll prove my point. Everybody just knows everything about everything. This person is happy to argue. I'm right. You're wrong. They're wrong. I don't need to change. Everybody else needs to change. If everybody was like me, things would be going better in this world. This person who's better than everybody, who everything they do is just a little bit better than you, they don't need advice, they only air their own opinion, they can't be wrong, they can't be corrected. This person, biblically, is a fool. And it's not the best company, brothers and sisters, to surround yourself with. Bad friend number 4, immoral Ike. And I got on PCO earlier, and I made sure that none of these people are actually currently serving, so I don't have to apologize to anybody. But if any, again, if Ike, I would love to meet you and apologize for throwing you under the bus this morning. Immoral Ike, Proverbs 12:26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor. That's a positive. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's a negative. A good friend is one who's going to guide you towards righteousness, towards Jesus, towards truth. A bad friend is one who's going to lead you towards wickedness and sin. They lure and they tempt you to go join in with them and others to pursue the sinful and the unrighteous things like them. A friend who motivates you to pursue any kind of disobedience towards your conscience and towards Jesus is a bad friend. That is a bad influence. I'll give you a few examples. The person who applauds your drinking to the point of drunkenness. You should come over. We should have some. You know, you could drink another one. Just drink one more. You don't got to go home. Drink another one. Come over tomorrow. Let's do it again. We should go out. Let's do it. If that is their life, somebody who wants to persuade you, come on, keep doing, come drinking with us. That's a bad influence. The person who persuades you to pursue a sinful relationship, someone who encourages you to lie to your spouse. Oh no, don't tell him. You don't got to tell him. No, just say this. Say you were doing this. Someone who tells you, steal it from your company. Hey, yeah, I know it's 9:30. Just say you showed up at 4:30. Nobody will know. Someone who pulls you away from regular fellowship with the church, people who pull you away from your devotion to Jesus, someone who pressures you, who's tempting you to sin sexually with them or with others, that's a bad influence. Biblically, these are bad friends. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. If the people in your life are not in the business of helping you see Jesus as precious, growing in holiness, but they're pushing you towards immorality, there's no better way to say this than that's a bad friend. That's a bad influence. And if that person claims to be a Christian, oh man, go ahead and do a little study. Read up on the Bible and see what it says about a person who leads believers towards immorality. See if that's consistent with a person who trusts and treasures Jesus for the Savior that he is. I'll let you wrestle with that. Now, I mentioned some of these influences, just a couple, because oftentimes we don't think these little things will have that big of an influence on us. We always think, oh, it's just the really bad stuff that makes people horrible influences, right? Like murderers and pimps and, you know, rapists and drug dealers, you know, or you're Denver Bronco fans. And we go, you know what? Yeah, we don't hang out with those types of people. That's praise God, you know? You know, I had to throw that in there. But we would do a disservice if we don't think and consider about some of even what we might say, oh, those are just little things. Oh, they just get a little angry at it every once in a while. Or, yeah, sometimes they get a little too out of hand with their drinking. Or, oh, you know what, sometimes they could be a little new gossip. We'd be crazy if we don't think those little things, which are big things, won't have an influence on our lives. So all that to simply say is this. You got a few points. Point number one, you will be influenced by the people you surround yourself with. Their good qualities, their bad qualities, whether they're big or whether they're small. We must really consider the kinds of people that we spend our times with because they will have an impact on us. And I think this is very interesting that the book of Proverbs, it's wisdom literature and it speaks wisdom about so many things. We've spent the last 11 weeks looking at anger and wisdom and correction and patience and sex and marriage and adultery and honor and money and speech and the heart. And next week we're talking about respect and we're going to be talking about raising children. But the first warning in Proverbs is about bad influences. Proverbs starts with wisdom and instruction is found in the Lord. Devote yourself to the Lord. Fear in, you know, what the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs starts with go to God, learn from God. But the first warning in Proverbs is that of bad company. You get to chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, there's the warning, do not consent. The first warning in Proverbs is influential people in your life. The first thing Solomon, wisest man in the world, says, watch out for those who are going to entice you. He learned a lot of things the hard way. Watch out for those who will tempt you and lure you and attract you and convince you and persuade you to do things that lead to sin and unrighteousness. The first warning by Proverbs, Solomon, is bad influences. And then I find this interesting, too. Solomon had a dad. What's his dad's name? Anybody? David. David wrote some Bible, too. David wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. David, the first verse in Psalms, which is an encouraging verse. It's a positive verse. We'll look at it in the negative. It talks about the first warning is about bad company, the influence they will have on you. Listen, Psalms, verse chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And in the positive, that's good. The man or the woman is blessed who does not let people influence them in a way that leads them to sin and destruction. But in the negative, the person who isn't living blessed, the person who is walking in unrighteousness, this person, they are being influenced by these people. And you'll notice that there's a progression. It starts, you can see it in the three words, walks, stands, sits. It's a progression. The bad influence, at first, I'm just walking, minding my own business. I'm just going down my street, they're on the other side of the street, and I'm just minding my business, but they're saying stuff, they're chucking darts at me. And I'm going, oh, that's cool, no, no thanks, I don't wanna do that. Oh, that sounds enticing, no thanks, I'm gonna keep walking. But the person who is influenced by them, he's walking in the counsel of the wicked, and now he's all of a sudden, it progresses. Now he's standing, now he stops, he goes, oh, wait, that's actually kind of, that sounds really cool. I like that. Hey, what were you guys saying about that? Now all of a sudden, instead of just walking past that person, now they actually join. Now they're in line with them. Now they've hopped on to the other side of the street. Now they're in line with them. They're standing. And then it continues. At first, they would just walk by. Nope, not going to entertain it. Now they're standing going, oh, this is pretty cool. I like it. And now they're sitting in the seats of the scoffers. Now they've become one of us. Now it's just progressed to worse and worse. So at first they were just walking, I'm not going to entertain it. To second, now I'm standing, now I'm just listening. Okay, now I'm hanging out a little bit. You guys are having more, and then all of a sudden they're just sitting and they've become one of them. Like it or not, God's word's not going to beat around the bush when it comes to the influence that people can have on our life for good, but for bad. We should take that seriously. Do the people you surround yourself with lead you towards ruin or righteousness? Blessed is man who walks not in the counsel. Are you just hearing it? Are you standing with him? Or are you sitting and just completely indulging in it with them? Who are the people we surround ourselves with? For good or for bad, they will influence you. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is Paul actually quoting a Greek proverb, wisdom. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Some of your Bible translations will say corrupts good behavior. Then in context, what Paul is teaching about here is false teachers. He's saying, these guys, they're giving you bad ideas. That's going to hurt you. That's going to corrupt you. That's going to influence you. And in the same way for us in regards to anybody who's enabling us or tempts us to sin, who's leading us into something that is not true, those who are encouraging you or luring you to lay down your convictions, friendships that cause you to doubt or to second guess what is the right thing to do biblically, those are bad influences. And you can't really say, well, no, you know what? Yeah, I hang out with some friends and they're a little questionable and they're a little rough around the edges. I have plenty of friends like that, guys. Trust me, I'm not saying don't surround yourself with... We've got to be gracious here. This is not a legalism thing. But you can't say that though the people that are bad, you can't say, yeah, you know what? They're kind of, yeah, they're a little, you know what? But they're not going to have an influence on me. Paul's saying, don't say that. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. It will corrupt good behavior. That's like saying, yeah, I can put a nicotine patch on, but my body doesn't actually absorb the nicotine. I just like wearing it. It's like, that's not true. That is literally what it will do. It will affect you. Or put cilantro on food, anything. I don't care. You name it. You put a little bit of cilantro on that, you ruin the whole thing. Okay? Right? Amen? Preach it, pastor. It's not a debatable. Bad company, bad friends, bad influences, it's going to affect you. Jesus gave the same warning. He used an illustration with leaven. He says this in Mark chapter 8. He cautioned them, his disciples, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What he's saying is that these people have an influence that will really contaminate you. And he uses the analogy of leaven. Leaven's a type of yeast. You'd put it into your dough, and it would influence, it would change everything. At first, you just had like a wheat-thin cracker. You sprinkle a little leaven, mix it up, boom, you got a big old country roast French bread. It impacts, it changes everything when it comes to your dough. Jesus is saying the same thing about these types of people. The Pharisees, they have a bad influence on you. They're leaven, they're influence, they're hypocrites. They preach false teachings. The leaven of Herod was bad. He was completely immoral. He was radically corrupted. Jesus is warning his disciples. Jesus is warning us. We need to beware of the leaven, the influence of bad influences. It will change you. When you see this sign, what do you do? You beware. You watch out. That dog is not going to be my best company. I'm going to be on guard. You've been warned. You put your hand in that fence. When that dog gets its teeth wrapped around your arm, it's going to change you. It's going to affect you. It's going to have an impact on you. That sign on that fence is not really optional. When I see that sign and I'm walking down the street with my children and I hear that dog barking and I see the Cujo foam coming off of his mouth, you know what? I'm going to distance myself from that. I'm going to limit that dog's influence on my family's life and my little baby's fingers. I'm going to limit that dog's influence on our life. I'm staying on my side of the street. And the same is true for the bad influences that we see in our own lives. We are going to be influenced by the people that we surround ourselves with. And wisdom says that we need to be aware of the bad company because it will have an effect on you. And next, wisdom says the most wise thing maybe for you today, beloved, is that you may need to distance yourself from bad influences. In Proverbs 4, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Like the Psalm 1:1 guy. Notice the advice about the bad influences. Do not enter. Do not walk. Do not go in. And Proverbs is speaking from a parental heart here that wants to protect his child from bad company before bad company contaminates his child. Every parent knows exactly what we're talking about here. Some of you have grown babies. Some of your babies are my age. And as you raised your children up, as I am introducing my children into the world, parents have this desire to want to protect their children from the bad influences, from the movies they watch, the music they listen to, the friends they hang out with. Like, no, we don't put cilantro in our food. That will ruin you. I'm raising them right. But my mama, oh man, she did the best she could. You pray for her. God has been so kind to her. She did the best. That poor woman, I hung out with all the wrong people. Like, no joke, like the people that make you nervous when you see them, like they give you nightmares, that when you're in the grocery store and you see them, you go, hey, honey, grab onto the handlebars. Dad, I'm 14. Hold on to the handle. You're walking in, you're in between my hands and worship. Those are all of my friends. Those were all of my friends. The gangsters, the stoners, the tattooed weirdos with the big old gauges and the metal heads and the straight edge kids and the gothic dudes and the satanic death metal guys. Some would say it's a miracle I made it out alive. But, you know, by the grace of God, I never joined a gang. I never drank. I never did drugs. I never listened to Morrissey. I never worshiped the devil. But when I was growing up, those were all of my friends. So my mom goes, oh, you know what? Bad company's going to crook. I know what happens with those. I know what's going on in that world. My mom would warn me. She'd go, Brian, baby, I love you. There are some bad people out there, and they're going to offer you drugs, and they're going to want you to do drugs, and you don't have to take them. You just call me. And it's like, Mom, I don't do drugs. And she'd go, sure, Brian, I didn't do drugs either. Brian, there's going to be people drinking. Don't drink. You don't have to drink, and you don't have to drive home. If you're going to do, Brian, you call me. Don't do that. Like, Mom, I don't drink. She's like, sure, I didn't drink either, Brian. I still think to this day my mom thinks I do drugs, which is kind of, she's sweet. But my mom knew. As you can tell, I was not raised in a Christian home. You guys figure that out by now, right? Okay, cool. But my mom knew the power that bad influence could have in a person's life. She experienced that plenty. My brother and I are literally the fruit of that. Drop out of school, sleep, sex, drugs, rock and roll. That here you, two children later, meet me. Which is a blessing, right? Nothing wrong with, I mean, my mom learned a lot of wisdom the hard way, just like many of us have, am I right? Sometimes God allows you to make a real big mess of yourself for you to realize, oh, I need somebody to change my diaper. I'm a mess. But my mom wanted to prevent me from following down this path of unrighteousness and folly that she learned the hard way. And by God's grace, my mom had a big influence on me. Yeah, I hung out with not the best people, but I learned from her. Even though I had plenty of bad influences, my mom's wisdom really prevailed in many ways, saving me from plenty of folly and pain and foolishness. And Proverbs comes from that same parental heart that just wants to protect his child. You have a good father who wants to protect his daughters, who wants to protect his sons from bad company before the bad company contaminates his child. That's the God that we have. He says, don't walk in the path of the wicked, the evil, the morally wrong, the sinful, the angry, the proud, the immoral, whatever it is. Don't walk in that way. You don't have to go on that path. Pass it on. That will influence you. So in many ways, wisdom says we need to distance ourselves from bad influences. We need to listen to our good father. And we have to be careful here, because am I saying that if anybody in your life is not a perfect example of Jesus, then you just 86 them from your life. You just give them the eviction notice. You delete them. You don't talk to them ever again. Are we saying that you never speak to anybody who may have some sort of character flaw that can influence you in a negative way? Is that what we're saying? No. I am not just flat out saying that, because you and I have many of these character flaws as well. And oftentimes, we are the bad influence on others. And aren't we thankful for those who have pursued us and corrected us and pulled us aside and said, hey, this, I don't know if this is really, and they've got us to really use those people to change us. We should be the most patient when it comes to others, especially unbelievers who don't know the gospel, that we need to be patient and we need to be slow to anger with them or just writing them off. God, they don't know the gospel. I can be an influence. And that's who God's called us to be in this world, right? We are the light of the world, a city on a hill. We are messengers of the gospel. We are a royal priesthood. We are proclaimers of truth. And we, more than anybody, should know that we should be so patient with others when they act foolishly. And if they're believers, then we correct one another. Like Pastor Bill preached on a couple weeks ago on correction. Listen to that sermon again. That's your homework. It's such a beautiful display of grace and forgiveness of, hey, I see some things that aren't going to end well for you, and you're walking down a path that isn't going to end well, and I love you enough to say, honey, there's something going on, and you might need to correct that. That is good and wonderful. And then there's forgiveness, and then we forget, and we move on, and that makes Jesus look amazing in so many ways. But brothers and sisters, when Christ calls us in Matthew 5, we are the salt of the earth, but others are influencing us for bad more than we're influencing them for good, then we've got to stop. We've got a problem. We've lost our saltiness. So, a question to wrestle, Christian, do others influence my life for bad more than I influence theirs for good? This is a gospel issue. This is a heart issue. If the answer is yes, the people I surround myself, yeah, not the best company. Then the best wisdom to hear today is that you need to distance yourself from those who are causing you to walk in unrighteousness. Those who's, maybe it's their language or their drunkenness or their anger, or their slander, their immorality, whatever it is, big or small, however you want to define that. If it's causing you to stumble, if it's changing you for the negative, if it's distancing you from Jesus and righteousness, you need to limit that influence in your life. It will affect you. And the best way we can do that, you can take steps forward in wisdom today, is simply this. Walk with the wise. Proverbs 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Not might suffer harm. Oh, yeah, you know, the friends that you hang out with, you know, they could have an impact on me, but I'm not going to let them. No. The companion of fools will suffer harm. So surround yourself with better influences. When you are being influenced by godly brothers and sisters, you cannot help but grow in wisdom and holiness. Their life and their influence will overflow into yours, and you're going to learn from those whose God has changed him. God in his word has transformed that person. Watch the Lord use these men and women in your life to influence you for good. And for the younger men in the room, that means find somebody with the goatee, with the gray hairs. Find the older men in the room. Sisters, find the older gals. Find the older, more mature believer in the faith, because brothers, going to be quite honest, the Bible doesn't say much good about young men. Young boys are strong, right? But so is a brick wall. Wisdom says, find somebody who's a little bit more older and more mature in the faith. That's a good influence on you. Seek out the brothers and sisters who've been walking with the Lord, those who don't just read wisdom or know wisdom, but they actually apply it. It's changed their lives. Invite them to speak into your life. Learn from them. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. I promise you, God is going to influence you through them. Whoever you surround yourself with is going to impact your life for good or for bad. So who are you walking with? Their influence will be contagious. just like the influence of fools in your life, their anger and their bitterness and their pride or whatever, that can be taught and caught, but so too can prayer and love and faithfulness and humility and wisdom. Walk with the wise. And family, as we close, do not ever forget that you have another who is infinitely more wise than every man and every woman in this room, in this planet, combined. Get wisdom from the most wise, the wisdom of God himself, Jesus Christ, the eternal God who became man for our sake to show us truth and love and righteousness and wisdom. Draw closer to the one where people marveled in Matthew 13. Where did this man get this wisdom? The one who in Colossians, it says, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the greatest influence. There is no better company than him. The one who's come to save, who saves us from our sin, who saved us from our rebellion, who's saved us from our enemy and from religion, and who saves us from foolishness and from wicked and evil. To know and treasure that great God and Savior, that is what it means to get wisdom. Brothers and sisters, who are you walking with? Walk with the wise and become wise. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your word, that your word is truth. Lord, we thank you for the hard texts in your word sometimes, God, that we should see you as precious and that your word should transform us, and you give us a warning, like a good father who wants to protect his child, of God, the influences in our lives. I pray that you would help us, you would give us plenty of grace with this, God, that we would maybe evaluate the relationships in our own lives, God. Maybe it's our children, maybe it's our spouse, maybe it's our neighbors, maybe it's our coworkers. God, what kind of influence are they having on me? And equally important, God, what kind of influence are we having on them? We will be most influenced by the people we surround ourselves with, Jesus. So will you help us weed out those who aren't the best, that aren't the most wise influence for us? And would you, by your hope, your spirit, and your grace, would you bring wise people? Would you bring along other brothers and sisters that want to help me grow in righteousness, Jesus? Would you give us grace to do that, Father? We love you. Thank you that that we are sinners, that we, in so many ways, have these same bad influences on others. Father, would you help start with us first? Would you help us to be people who follow and love you, that we are the light of the world, that we are the salt of the earth? Father, would you help us to be contagious Christians with our lives, with our actions, with our thoughts, with our words, that Jesus, that we would be a good influence on a broken world, that we would see people saved, that we would help people to see you, Jesus, for the treasure that is worth running towards. Father, we need your spirit to do that. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.